And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We've got Andrew Schleck producing. Coming up on the show, repeat offender, king of the coaches, a grizzly poking a bear, Suns eclipse, and who can storm back down 2-0. Subscribe to our new YouTube channel. Subscribe to The Bounce, our NBA email newsletter every single day, Monday through Friday, by going to theathletic.com/bounce. Today is April 20th. National, well, it's 420. Just if you get high, get high. If not, don't. But, you know, it's 420. Happy 420, everybody. Hey, our two contestants in this corner. He covers the Celtics. He reps Dylan Brooks because he likes bad players. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, do you have a pregame routine before playoff games?
It's not just for playoff games. It's more of an every game type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a pregame nap. That's it. It's
Didn't
not
you forget your laptop recently?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm lucky I live just like a 12-minute walk from TD Garden.
All right, that's not that bad then, yeah.
Right. I can go back and get it. And it was funny because I knew on the way over, I was like, my backpack feels a little light today. And I was thinking how light it felt. And for some reason, I just thought I must have been like having a real strong day or something.
Right, yeah, yeah. I did a couple of push-ups the other day.
Didn't think to check if I
back
actually
really,
brought
feeling
my
real
computer.
Swole this particular
yeah.
day.
So, yeah, that was tough. Tough day. Just another tough day for the kid.
I can't believe you thought, oh, I must be stronger. All right, and in this corner, he covers the Pelicans on the court. He covers Zion's whereabouts off the court. It's Will Guillory. Will, are we going to see the Pelicans in the playoffs next year?
Man, I would hope so. Because they're going to have three dudes making $30 million next year. They got first-round picks. Their coach is going to be in the third year. So if they don't make it to the playoffs, something tremendously wrong happened, or everybody got hurt again, which is usually the story in New Orleans.
Yeah. What is it about people? Why the injuries? What's going on?
Oh, man, listen, if I knew, I would have written it a long time ago. I used to just think Anthony Davis falls over stuff. That's why he was always hurt. But maybe it's just a curse in New Orleans. Just people are hurt. Luckily, I haven't been one of them, so maybe I'll trip over some before the end of this
let's
pod.
Keep
we'll
you
see.
Let's keep you safe. Like maybe just like, you know, bend with the knees. Don't lift anything too heavy. Don't think you're Jay King and you just got stronger all of a sudden, so you can just grab whatever you want.
Listen, one of my rules in pickup is keep your feet on the ground. That's the easiest way to stay healthy playing pickup.
Oh man, you turn that jumper
into feet leave the ground. That's when things go wrong.
Turn that jumper.
I've never sprained an ankle. I have never sprained an ankle.
Well, yeah, you have to get off the ground usually to sprain an ankle.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just providing evidence to support his theory.
Keep your feet on the ground, man. That's the best advice I can give you.
On the ground. That's good advice for a lot of things in life. All right, let's get this going. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Repeat offender. You haven't heard, Draymond Green will not play in Game 3 against the Kings tonight. He was suspended for stomping on Domantas Sabonis' chest after Sabonis grabbed his ankle during Game 2. In the game, Sabonis received a tech. Draymond was ejected, and NBA Executive VP Joe Dumars, who doles out all those punishments, had this to say about the suspension. Quote, "There was much discussion and back and forth looking at the play itself over and over, and then ultimately we came to the decision that the act itself and repeat offenses actually did warrant a suspension." He continues, quote, "That the stuff that happened afterward, that doesn't help the situation. But if it wasn't just that alone, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I focus on the act itself and the fact that it's a repeat offense. Those were the two main things. Discourse on this subject is all over the map. You have the Warriors telling media that this was bound to happen because Sabonis was using the ball as a weapon. Many think it's outrageous that Draymond was suspended. Others think it was warranted. And poor Bob Myers had this to say, quote, "Each time he's messed up, my hope is he learns from it and becomes better. Tonight, potentially series-changing game three, Sabonis listed as questionable. He's going to play. Don't be stupid. With a bruised sternum, and Draymond will watch it from home." And by the way, just the whole... Well, Jay, are you worried about Sabonis... Are you worried about Sabonis using the ball as a weapon in this game now that Draymond's not around?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, Jay, have you ever really been attacked dangerous. With a basketball? That's what I thought you were going to ask.
It could get really dangerous out there. I mean, sure. I'm afraid for Looney. I'm afraid for Kuminga now, who's probably going to play a bigger role. You have to fear for Andrew Wiggins' safety. He's just trying to get back in shape anyway. No. It is much worse to use your foot as a weapon than whatever Sabonis is doing with the basketball, is what I would say to that. I can't believe that they said that. Like, come on.
They went on a major excuse.
These playoff series get so petty.
You can't be the Warriors and then all of a sudden become the Rockets, where you just have this like nonsensical complaint to the league office. He's using the ball as a weapon. Like,
it's like, listen, guys, you've been employing Draymond Green for the past decade. You can't complain about people being too physical in the playoffs.
You can't
pull up some of my man's highlights.
You can't complain about like, oh, well, this guy said some things to the ref and you didn't tee him up. Like, you can't do any of that stuff. Like, it's just like Jay, what's going on?
I don't think Draymond should have been suspended. I seem to be in a minority here.
Yeah.
I have never gotten as much hate on Twitter as I have over the past few days.
Oh, you should write about banning the charge. See what happens.
For saying, yeah, you must be in the middle of it right now. But, like, okay, two reasons why I don't think. First, I think Sabonis did grab his ankle.
Yeah.
And when you're in the middle of the moment, you have to free yourself from the ankle. And obviously, Draymond put extra on the stop. Like, it wasn't just trying to get free from the ankle. But it pains me that the guy who grabbed someone else's ankle has now been rewarded with Draymond getting ejected from that game and getting suspended from the next game.
Well, he does have a bruised sternum. So remember that. You know, he's questionable with a bruised sternum.
It's also... Until he misses a game, I'm going to go operate under the assumption that, like the Warriors, they are having some petty wars out there. And then the other reason, he already got ejected from the last game, and that cost his team the win. Like, that was a very close game. The Warriors basically didn't get a stop the rest of the game after Draymond got ejected. He's already been punished in a major manner. And if you're going to look back to his history, he's already been punished for all that stuff too. He had a championship taken away from him because he got suspended in the finals. And so to me, like, this is an overreaction. It's a suspension when they didn't need to suspend him, but Draymond doesn't get the benefit of the doubt, and that's his fault. So he has to live with that.
Will, do you think that missing the final 7-0-3 or whatever that was of game two, do you think that is enough punishment or that it warranted something else?
Yeah, I'm with Jay. You're not in a minority on this show. I don't think he should have been suspended for the game. And you know, it was weird because we never see the NBA go on like a press tour to explain why they're suspending somebody.
Yeah,
I've never
that
seen
was
anything
weird.
Like
that's
that
a
before.
Good point. Yeah.
But yeah, I really, honestly, I think we wouldn't be having this discussion if Draymond didn't go Macho Man Randy Savage in front of the Kings crowd and decide to just start screaming at people out of nowhere. I think that whole spectacle kind of took it to a whole different level. And it's like, all right, Draymond.
Wild.
It's like, I think the league was like, all right, Draymond, you're wilding. You need to take a seat now,
right?
Just because you're doing too much. And I just think, again, like Jay said, Draymond can't blame anybody but himself for this one. They can be mad at the league. They could be mad at Sabonis for using a basketball as a weapon. But at the end of the day, if you weren't wilding out, stepping on people, yelling at the crowd, you'd be playing a game three. And if this season comes to an end now, they can't point the finger at anybody else. I'm sure they're going to find a way to point it at somebody. But it's Draymond, you know, always straddling that line. And this time he went over it, and, you know, he's paying the cost.
He's throwing it at people. He's hitting them in the face with it. He's pushing them with it. How do you use the basketball as a weapon in game?
I haven't seen it. Let's just say that. I have not seen Sabonis using the basketball as a weapon.
There wasn't it one of the Morris DeJounte twins Murray. That bopped somebody on up the upside the head yes. with the ball one time?
Yes. Yeah. Remember DeJounte Murray, and was it summer?
I do with basketball.
He was yes. right? pick up yeah. or something. He's just
yes.
yeah. So all right. If Sabonis is out there doing that, I would give it to him. But he's not.
I feel like we would have seen it if he was doing that.
I also might be a little crazy, but this has only enhanced how much I'm looking forward to Game 3. This is setting up to be a potential all-time moment for Steph and for Klay, two of the most competitive guys in the world who know how much is at stake. They need to do it without Draymond, who's means so much to that team.
The guys who have four championships. Two surefire Hall of Famers. You're saying Game 3 down 0-2.
Let's go with
Round 1 against the Kings is shaping up to be an all-time moment for them.
Let's go with memorable instead. Okay. Let's
De'Aaron
go with
Fox is about to wipe all of that away. We're forgetting all of that.
Forget what Steph did in Game 4 of the finals to the Celtics.
It's Malik Muncy. Forget all of that.
Can he light up Davion Mitchell? This is the legacy builder.
But seriously, those guys take every challenge extremely seriously. They have had, for 10 years, an ability to rise to the challenge as well as anybody else does. All the big games they've had with their backs against the wall, and now here we get to see it.
And we also know that
against a team that's rolling.
And we also know that this might be it, right? If they lose in the first round, they might break this thing up. This might be the last time we see this version of the Warriors. So that's on the line as well here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of the Kings, take two. King of the Coaches on Wednesday was announced that Mike Brown of the Sacramento Kings was named Coach of the Year. Brown received all 100 first place votes, becoming the first unanimous winner of NBA's Coach of the Year award ever. Brown easily beat out Mark Daigneault and Joe Mazzulla, who ranked second and third in Coach of the Year voting. It was I think I have this stat right. I looked this up. It's the second biggest gap between Coach of the Year awards for one coach. It was 14 years. He last won it in 2008, 2009, wow, when the Cavs won 66 games. The biggest gap is Hubie Brown, who won the award 26 years apart, 1978 and 2004, which it's just, that's my favorite stat now out of any stat. That's my favorite stat.
I can't wait till Hubie wins it again 26 years from
he's
now.
Oh, my God. 2030, he's going to get it. So it's going to be great. Will, how much credit do you give Mike Brown for this Kings turnaround?
I mean, you got to give him a ton. We've said it a million times, but this is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in almost two decades. You know,
Talladega Nights was in theaters.
I mean, it's just so much nasty history there in Sacramento. One of the last regular season games, they were trying to close it out, and I think the announcer comes on the PA is like, "This is the biggest possession in the history of basketball about to come up, so the Kings can clinch." But nah, I think you got to give Mike credit for two big things. I think one, from the moment he stepped into Sacramento, he said, "I'm going to hold De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis accountable for playing defense." And he did it publicly. He did it with playing time. We saw a few times early on, he was pulling those guys out of games because they weren't playing defense. And I think setting that standard is a big reason why you see them defending the Warriors the way they are right now. And I think those guys kind of led the charge with that. And I think Mike Brown was the one that really put that on their mind and let them know, we're not going to go anywhere unless our two best players are playing defense. And then, two, I think you've seen Mike Brown evolve as a coach. You know, he's known for being a defensive-minded guy. He's known for, you know, even when he won that Coach of the Year with the Cavs, he was known for having a really basic offense. Mm-hmm. It was always LeBron at the top of the key playing 1-on-5. And now you see they're playing this Warrior style where everybody's moving, everybody's cutting. Sabonis is putting up 7-8 assists every single night. So I think you've seen his evolution as a coach, and you've seen him really help De'Aaron Fox bring his game to another level, not just the way he's playing, but the way he's leading. And I think Mike Brown kind of called him to the carpet to do that this year.
Yeah, Jay, I think this is an example where we always just assume coaches coach the way they do, right? And there is no evolution. But I think Mike Brown is a great example that, like, no, coaches, like the good coaches, the right coaches will evolve as times evolve. And he went to Golden State and he learned a ton. And as Will said, you see him applying a lot of that on the Kings.
And it's also a lesson that we probably shouldn't judge every coach just by the style they use each year.
Yeah.
Like people thought he was a bad offensive coach because he wasn't super creative with like Ira Knoebel and Sasha Pavlovich in the starting lineup. You know, but that's serious. And now with this particular job, I just felt like he was so great at carving out this team's identity. Those Kings play so fast, which takes advantage of De'Aaron Fox. Like, he's one of the fastest guys. Their transition is just a blur. Like, if you just don't pay attention to the game for half a second. I was watching Kings Celtics earlier this year, and, like, I take notes during possessions. And I would start to take a note, and it would just be like the possession was over. That was it. And normally I could do that, and I look up, and they're not even at half court.
Yeah.
So that was one thing he did. And then the other thing is, like, taking advantage of Sabonis' passing and playmaking and all of that, all the dribble handoffs that they run. He made a beautiful, beautiful offense. And then he had to change them from being a losing franchise to make those guys believe. Fox had never experienced winning in the NBA. Sabonis had done it to, like, some extent in Indiana on,
yeah,
like, some
bit, yeah,
mildly decent teams. They lost their first four games of the season. Like, this wasn't a job where he came in and they had immediately had success. He had to convince those guys to believe, to buy in, to stay with him this whole time. I just think he did an incredible job. He learned a lot, it seems, from Steve Kerr. But he's always been a great coach. And this is just a lesson that, like, coaches aren't always what their teams make, what their players make them do, if yeah, that makes sense.
And yo, shout out to Mike Brown, but can we just go back to the point that Jay, this is supposed to be a crowning moment for Jay King, the Kings getting to the playoffs, and he somehow turned himself into public enemy with number one.
Oh, they're going to get swept. These bums are going to be silent.
They're supposed to be throwing rose petals at this man's feet.
Man, he became the villain.
He was the only one
so
that believed.
Quick.
He's the only one. Quick.
The only one that believed. I started hyping him up at the trade deadline last year.
Yeah. And now he can't step foot in Sacramento.
Now everyone hates me.
Everyone hates him because you said they're going to get swept.
God, that's rough, man.
Now, I was very wrong. I was extremely wrong.
I picked the Kings. And in fact, there's text message evidence of me saying Kings in four during Tuesday night's game. There was also evidence after the first quarter where I said, I can't believe I backed these bums, but then quickly turned back around and said,
listen, We forgot that part.
Hey, just the ball over 9 times in the first quarter. I was a little upset.
Yeah, just Jay, if you go to Sacramento, just watch your head. Somebody might throw a basketball at you. They're known for using basketballs as weapons out
big
there.
Big-ass Lithuanian might do it.
Just keep your head on the swivel next time you go to Sacramento.
I still can't believe somebody said that. Like, imagine saying the words, he's using the basketball as a
it
weapon
doesn't make
and
sense.
Being serious.
I still don't understand it.
All right, I'd be ashamed of myself. I really would.
Let's take a quick break, fellas. When we come back, a DB is poking bears.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back. Take three. A grizzly poking a bear. The Lakers and Grizzlies are tied 1-1. After last night's Grizzlies win, Ja Morant sat out with right hand soreness after he sustained a soft tissue injury to his right hand in game one. That was no problem for the Grizzlies, who had all five starters in double figures, including 22-13 from Xavier Tillman. Xavier Tillman led the Grizzlies in scoring in a playoff victory.
Xavier Tillman is so disrespectful.
Look, it's a surprise to literally everybody, including Xavier Tillman. We also got a little confrontation between LeBron and Dylan Brooks, and Brooks mumbled this into a microphone after the game. Schleck, play the tape.
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. He should have been saying that earlier on. I poked bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40.
With the series already getting chippy after two games, Ja Morant's status is in question for game three, and we're headed back to L.A. Jay, one, do you support poking bears? And two, who do you favor to win this series after the first two contests?
Yes, I support Dylan Brooks poking bears. He's the new Pat Beverly. He's just entertainment.
Pat Beverly can talk.
it was kind of weird.
It's weak. He can't talk.
Now. But he is old now. He is old now.
Yeah, and he still scored. They had to take it. So the Lakers were down like 16. They go on a 7-0 run, and Taylor Jenkins was like, all right, well, I got to fix this run. Dylan, you're out. I'm putting Luke Kennard in. Like,
sometimes
that's what happened.
You need a little shooting. Sometimes it's important to put the ball through the net.
Every now and then it's important.
Sometimes that matters. No, but in all honesty, the Grizzlies, I still think they're going to win this series.
Wow.
They are the better defensive team. Their defense in game two just was awesome.
Incredible.
They were so tough. They took away everything the Lakers wanted. The help on Anthony Davis at the rim, like, he ended up with an awful game. Some of it was because there was just super effort plays from guys that weren't even guarding him to block him at the rim.
Yeah.
John Conchar. Bless your soul.
John Conchar.
Everywhere, man. He was everywhere. Just incredible John Conchar night.
It was.
But yeah, and when Jai is out, obviously they need him. Their offense needs him. They suffer so much on that end without him. But it only enhances what they do best, which is their defense.
Yeah.
And when he's out, they just are better defensively. They're bigger. Tyus Jones is just like
Tyus Jones
super
good,
solid.
Man. Yeah.
So good. So I still believe in the Grizzlies more than I do the Lakers. Although it was somewhat concerning that the Lakers played as poorly as they did and we're still there at the end.
Will, do you support this clown behavior of Dylan Brooks?
I told y'all I had something to reveal to y'all before the pod.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
tell it to me.
And my revelation is I had a vote this year, NBA award. Shout out to all the award voters out there. And I voted Dylan Brooks first team all defense this year. And part of it is because of what he did in that game last night. Not just his ability to play physically, to limit guys, to make life tough on you, but he gets in your head. It annoys the crap out of people the way he does. And I think you saw that moment late in that game where LeBron was just like, you know what? I'm fed up with you. I'm about to curse you out. I'm about to call you a bum. And Dylan Brooks just had a big old smile on his face because you know what he said? I got you. Once you're at the point when you're LeBron James and you're arguing with Dylan Brooks in a playoff game, then Dylan Brooks wins. Because there's no reason we should be having a LeBron James versus Dylan Brooks conversation.
There is no conversation about 2023 against each other. Like he was scored on Dylan Brooks with ease.
No, I think the guy who handled this perfectly, I want to go back to one of my favorite quotes of all time, is Kevin Durant when he said, y'all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant.
Yes.
When everybody was saying Kevin Durant versus Pat Beverly in the playoffs a couple of years ago, he was like, hey, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on. Y'all remember who I am? Like, I'm Kevin Durant. Like, you can't be talking about me with Pat Beverly. Like, what's going on here? And that's how LeBron should be responding to Dylan Brooks. But he allowed himself to get on the same level with Brooks. And Brooks was like, yeah, I'm 4-for-13 or whatever he was last night. And I'm right there. And people are asking me about LeBron James after the game. And that's showing me on TNT. And that's a win for Dylan Brooks. But do I think Xavier Tillman is going to continue to outplay Anthony Davis the rest of this series?
Yes.
I don't think so. So it's going to be hard for Memphis the rest of the way. So they're going to need Ja Morant sooner rather than later, I think, if they're going to make this a series.
I think Dylan Brooks is the master of my teammates got us a win, so I'm gonna talk trash. I think that's what Dylan Brooks is the master of. The guy contributes almost nothing to winning.
The what was more disrespectful, what Dylan Brooks said about LeBron James or the way LeBron James was defending Dylan Brooks? Like, literally just could not have cared less. That Dylan Brooks was shooting wide
open. Because he shoots his shooting motion, like his base, he shoots like he just shat himself. But he's got to get this shot off before the shot clock expires.
He kind of runs like he's got the squirts.
And too, also, like, you know what's weird? David Roddy shoots the same way. I'm like, what's happening? Why is David Roddy shooting like Dylan Brooks?
I just want to say I'm not into age shaming. We don't need to be age shaming LeBron or anybody else in the league. Don't be calling people old. Just because you feel like you're young, because Dylan Brooks, you're going to be old one day too. So that's what I got to say about
fascinated.
That.
He's going to age gracefully, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Yeah, he does everything gracefully. I'm fascinated to see what Dylan Brooks' next contract is. Because
whatever it is, just stop showing off your belly button in public, man. Put a shirt on, Dylan Brooks. I don't want to see your belly
don't
button
get a chain
or your nipples in public, Dylan Brooks.
A chain that we could just assume stands for douchebag. Maybe don't do that. I know your name is Dylan Brooks, but come on. All right, coming up after the break, we check in on Suns Clippers.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Take four, Suns Eclipse. Tuesday night, the Suns bounce back to beat the Clippers, tying the series at 1-1. Series have been close so far with the impressive play from KD and Kawhi. Westbrook and Booker showing up in big ways. Role players shooting well, having a big impact in the series. As we saw Torrey Craig hit 5 3-pointers, as the Clippers are daring him to shoot the ball, help propel the Suns over the Clippers in game two. This series heads back to LA tonight for game 3 and 4. Will, in a tied series between these two, who do you favor to move on to round two?
I'm still sticking with the Suns. I still feel like the Suns are right there as one of my favorites to come out of the West and go to the finals this year, just because, I mean, you saw that last game, Durant and Book, they're just such a potent duo, and they complement each other so well. It's just really tough for anybody to figure out a good defensive scheme for those guys, because once you send two bodies to sit and stop one of those guys and the other one standing on the other side of the court and going to be able to make plays, and it's tough. And I think the big development for them in that last game as well is Chris Paul just being a little bit more aggressive. I think they just need that, just because, I mean, their bench is giving them zero. They're basically a four-man team at this point.
I was like, look, they're shallow, but they're not that shallow. No, they're that shallow, man.
Boy, they are extremely shallow.
It is bad. So you need Chris Paul to score, just because nobody else is coming out there to score points. So you need Chris Paul to continue to be aggressive. You need DeAndre Ayton to, like, take a shot at the rim every now and then, not just take jumpers the whole game. But I think with KD and Book, they've got enough. And the crazy thing through these first two games is Russell Westbrook has been unbelievable. He's been incredible. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to keep that up. And without that additional Westbrook scoring, I think the question is, where is that scoring coming from for the Clips, just to support Kawhi? Because it doesn't look like Paul George is coming back. So, yeah, I still got the Suns.
Yeah, Jay, I think the concerning thing for me for the Clippers was in the second half, Monty Williams was like, okay, I guess I'll double Kawhi Leonard. And one, I didn't think his vision was very good when they did it. Like, he kind of got tunnel vision a little bit, especially in the fourth quarter. And two, like, just who's there to step up? Eric Gordon? I mean, Russ, right, a little bit. Russ did play well. Will's right. Like, Russ has played well, but I just don't know who's there to help Kawhi.
And that's the thing, like, and I've said this all season, because they're like a super deep team, right? Yeah. They have a ton of players who are worthy of being in rotation. Phoenix could use every single player on their roster.
They really could.
Like anybody on the Clippers roster would be at least the fifth best player on this.
Oh,
Suns.
Don't do Torrey Craig like that. Come on.
No, I stand by that claim. I absolutely stand by that claim.
Come on.
However, like, who, I don't know who their third best player, or in this series, their second best player is. I don't.
Yeah.
They have huge gaping shooting hole with Russell Westbrook. And all that stuff matters. If Paul George was in this series, it would be so fun.
Yeah.
And it's devastating he's not. I just don't think the Clippers have enough. I think at the end of the day, the Suns have more answers. But nothing from this series so far has made me rethink the Suns supporting cast. Like, I thought someone might step up. Torrey Craig has. Torrey Craig.
Yeah, Torrey Craig did, yeah.
Sure. Other than that, they haven't found a single answer. They don't know what they're going to.
I don't know why they signed Terrence Ross. Like, what happened? Like, he's been awful.
They signed Terrence Ross because nobody has watched Magic Games in a couple of years. Let's be honest.
No one's watched Magic Games since Dwight.
That's it. Man. Terrence Ross has not been super helpful for a while. I don't know why Damian Lee doesn't play. What does Damian Lee do wrong?
That's
this
a
guy,
good question. Yeah.
He can at least shoot. He can hit threes. He's competitive.
Solid. Yeah, he's a solid player.
I would pull the Damian Lee card and just see what happens with a little bit more shooting, because as well as Phoenix's offense played in game two, they generated 24 three-pointers. That's so archaic. It's so weird.
It was 19 in game one. 19.
It's partly because all those guys are amazing from mid-range. Like, they are the rare guys where mid-range is actually a good shot for them.
Yeah.
But you need somebody to make threes and space the court and make things a little easier for those guys. And Damian Lee is sitting over there with whatever his three-point percentage is. I know it's in the 40s. And
legit, it's high.
Yeah.
Shout out to Law Murray, too, by the way, who wrote about how they killed him in the mid-range. Because they just operated all night in the mid-range.
Yeah, I mean, they made 10 threes and Torrey Craig had 5 of them. So that's all you need to know about what's going on in Phoenix right now.
Xavier Tillman, 22-13.
Yeah, we need to keep talking about Xavier Tillman. Yo, that was a crazy game he had last night. But I was about to say something and I just felt nasty before it even came out of my mouth. I was about to be like, yo, they're missing campaign right now.
Oh,
they can use him off the bench. And I was like, God, am I about to say they need campaign? Right? Is that what's going on in
they
Phoenix?
Should have signed Reggie Jackson or somebody. Like,
man, I'm telling you, they needed something to happen with that bench, because Josh Okogie.
They should have signed Reggie Jackson. That's a low spot.
We haven't seen Campaign do something since he was in China. Like, what are you talking about? Man,
Campaign had that one good year. Let's be honest, he had one good year. He had two months.
Yeah,
that little playoff run. When CP got hurt, and it's rough. They just need anything. They got to try something, because I don't think you could just keep playing KD and Book 45 minutes every game and think you're gonna make it through four
they
rounds.
Are not they're KD, playing though. a ton of minutes
they got nobody else,
and they have to because they have no depth. But it's like, it's concerning, it's alarming that they have to play this many minutes in round one against a Clippers team without Paul George. That's alarming, and it could catch up to them.
No
doubt.
All right, take five. So you're telling me there's a chance other than Kings Warriors? We have three series that sit at 2-0: Sixers Nets, Celtics Hawks, Nuggets Timberwolves. Saw the Wolves put up a little bit of a fight last night. Anthony Edwards was great, and he was fun.
That turned into a fun game.
Yeah, it turned into a fun game.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere, because I was ready to, I was ready to turn on Bar Rescue. I was done. I was tapped out for about second quarter. I was like, I don't know about this one, man. This was not a good basketball night. Sixers Nets has been interesting. Nets just can't score in the second half of these games. And Celtics Hawks, well, let's move on. Jay, of these three series, which one is most likely to make it 6 or 7?
6 or 7?
And which is most likely to be a sweep?
6 or 7? I'll go Minnesota is the most likely to make it 6 or 7. It's not going to go 6 or 7.
Thank God for the third quarter. Otherwise, you would not have said that last night.
Anthony Edwards can make things interesting. And I believe in Anthony Edwards' competitive spirit. Among the groups that you brought up, like, Anthony Edwards is the one who could actually make something. That third quarter, he was just incredible.
Yeah.
Nobody could stay in front of him. He was getting to the rim time after time. He was making everything happen. The fourth quarter, he was pretty awesome, too.
He was pretty good, yeah. He was pretty good.
And, none of these series, let's be honest, that series ain't going 6. Jamal Murray sees Rudy Gobert drop coverage and becomes the greatest player who ever lived.
Oh my God.
Greatest player who ever lived.
They ran a big man pick and roll with Jokic and Aaron Gordon, and it looked like Kat and Gobert were just now stepping on a basketball court for the first time. They couldn't have defended it worse. It was so bad. Just the easiest dunk Aaron Gordon ever gotten.
They ran it a couple
gotten.
Times for alley-oops, too.
They did, yeah. Oh, so easy.
And the third quarter, it seemed like part of it was just the Nuggets relaxing after getting up big in the first half. But still, like, Anthony Edwards can be the best player on the court no matter who's on the court for stretches. And so I don't think that about anyone on the Nets. I don't think that about anyone on the Hawks. And so by default, this
conversation getting interested, Will, with everything going on there. First of all, who do you think could make it 6 or 7? Who do you think is most likely to sweep?
I'm kind of with Jay here. I guess I got to go Minnesota by default, because I tell you, the Hawks are not ever going to be the answer. They can play the Celtics 20 more times and they won't win one game. That's the most lopsided playoff series I might have seen in my life. I think Jay might be at games like playing tic-tac-toe during some of these games. I don't even know how you stay awake that series.
I think it beat a tic-tac-toe.
Three moves.
Most embarrassing moment of my life.
That Hawks series is ugly. I mean, the Celtics are just toying with them at this point. And I mean, the Nets are scrappy. You know, Bridges has some good moments, but like, they just don't have the size in the front court to deal with Embiid. And like, you get a half decent Harden, and those games are going to be blowouts half the time. So I guess I got to go Minnesota. I think Cat is going to play better when they go home. Like we said, Ant is a star, and I think we're probably going to see him a little bit more on Jamal Murray moving forward, just because I don't even know if they have any other options. These three series, we could probably end them in 3, and I'll be fine.
Be good. Yeah.
Let's just get to the next round.
Do you think this Jamal Murray is going to be consistent in this playoff run? Because he's been great. these two games. Like, they cannot guard
him. He was unbelievable.
He's been phenomenal. And I think, I'm not sure, because I think kind of the story of Jamal Murray this year has been his inconsistency. Mm-hmm. And he's had these moments where he's played really well and then he's dipped. So maybe, you know, playoff time, he'll be able to keep it up. But I just kind of feel like he's going to be up and down. That's kind of been a Jamal Murray story this year. And the key for them is just Jokic just getting everybody involved and them trying to not be like Phoenix and have some production from the bench, get a little something from Christian Brown. And I think that'll be their key to really be a threat to go forward in the playoffs, because it can't just be the Jamal Murray and Jokic show. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, just how those guys perform on the road now.
What happened with Michael Porter Jr. was so good in the fourth.
Oh, he was great, man.
He was.
He had a huge stretch for them when the game was in the balance and Jokic and Murray were both on the bench, where he just kind of took over for a little while. He took an insane three that was an and one. Like, that was just a bonkers decision. He was off balance, drilled it anyway. When Jamal Murray gets going, I truly have no idea how you stop the Nuggets. No clue.
Yeah.
Because then you're just petrified of him. And he's 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is, and just makes some of the most ridiculous shots when he's going. Like, the step backs, the... He's just, it's beautiful to watch him when he's going. And then all of a sudden, you get Jokic in the actions, and you're so overreacting to Murray that Jokic gets the ball in advantageous situations. And then Aaron Gordon's rising for lobs. And on the weak side, Michael Porter Jr., like, he's an awesome, awesome shooter.
You cannot leave him. Yeah.
Like, when Jamal Murray really gets going, this team's offense, that team's offense is mesmerizing. There's no, like, this is going to sound disrespectful to Jamal Murray, and I don't mean it that way.
Oh, boy.
There's no worse player who can be better to watch than Jamal Murray, if that makes sense. Like, when he gets going, he's impossible. He is impossible.
It's so disrespectful. That's so disrespectful.
He's never made an all-star game, but he can go, like, not just one game, but, like, stretches where he has 40 or 50 in a playoff series. Who else can do that?
I love how Denver went from it's a travesty that Aaron Gordon isn't an all-star to, well, Jokic should be MVP. I mean, he's never played with an all-star before. In like a month.
Yeah.
In like a month.
They do love to switch those arguments. That's
a Mike Malone staple right there. real quick before we're done, I have a theory on this series as I've watched the first two games. I've noticed, I think Jokic feels bad for Gobert. And so, like, there's been some physical play, but I think Jokic is kind of taking it easy on him because he knows they're going to win. And he's just like, man, Gobert's been through a lot lately. He's not going after him the way he usually does. I think Jokic feels bad for Rudy.
There was a little moment last night where, like, they captured Kyle Anderson and Gobert kind of, I guess you could say, making up a little bit of Kyle Anderson, trying to encourage him. So I guess that's good, but yeah.
Gobert got the tech, like, and Kyle tried to calm him down,
Calm him down, it's like, Gobert, calm down, man. You don't want to scare
anybody. That was a weak
tech.
He just ran away from the action.
But it was a weird run. You shouldn't run like that.
Rudy only runs weird.
It was an aggressive run.
So.
That's, you know what, that's fair. That's a good point. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Rudy was actually really good, too.
Yeah, he had a nice game. It just didn't matter.
We just always
just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
We just always kill Rudy.
By the way, I mean, Jay was killing him last night on Twitter. Just absolutely killing him last night. Saying, like, you see him get played off the court by Terrence Mann and Jalen Brunson and Maxi Kleber, and you decide, let's get all the assets and trade for him.
It is true.
He just better hope he don't cross paths with Xavier Tillman. He might drop a 40 ball on his head.
That would be,
or
that
the
would
weaponized,
be, oh
the
my
weaponized
God.
Balls.
Xavier Tillman's breaking
DeMontis
the ball
Sabonis.
Off the floor. Weaponized ball. Don't let him play the Kings ever again. All right, Warriors plus minus. Anything is possible. Down to dunk, no dunks, glue guys, Sixers beat, and the Bud and Cardigan show. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to The Bounce, theathletic.com/bounce. For Jay King, for Will Guillory, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention. Keep those balls weaponized.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.